Chapter 14. Frank looked from the muzzle of the gun in the imposter's hand toward Joe. His younger brother had fallen to his knees, tears streaming down his face.
Your mistake was in trying to appeal to his intellect,
the false Iola said smugly.
I control your brother by his emotions. As you can see, he's helpless. I can handle you first, then finish with him. By then he'll see the end as a kindness.
Some kindness, Frank thought.
Before you do that,
he said,
maybe you could answer a few questions that trouble me. Call it professional courtesy.
I see no reason to be courteous to someone who's going to die so soon,
the female terrorist said.
This must have been quite an operation,
Frank said, stalling for time.
From what Joe told me and what I saw, you have at least 5 doubles in your organization. You, Al Rasasa, the Gray Man, our mother, Callie.
His eyes narrowed.
I bet you even have a phony Vanessa.
The woman nodded.
You missed her very dramatic appearance on an adjustable underwater platform after we used a psychological trick to lure your brother to the waterfront. His response was most gratifying.
Just keep talking, Frank thought.
Hard work should be appreciated,
he continued.
These must have been a rough few months, getting everything ready. Going after us was a real crash project.
Don't flatter yourself. 2 of our transformed people are also planned for other assignments. It would be useful, shall we say, for an operative of Al Rasasa's reputation to be in the field again. And the benefits from infiltrating our own Gray Man into the network would be incalculable.
So they just slapped the rest of you together.
Frank knew he was running the risk of a quick bullet in the brain, but he had to get the woman talking. It would buy him time, and maybe some information.
I spent weeks of operations to get slapped together, as you put it,
the false Iola said.
So did our look-alike for Vanessa Bender. We shared the same hospital room.
And Joe says our mother is dead. Did you clone her, too?
That brought a hollow laugh from Iola.
I will satisfy your curiosity before you die. Your mother was only an unexpected intrusion in our plans. The woman your brother found supposedly murdered was an actress hired for an expensive Halloween prank.
Frank nodded, forcing himself to keep his expression bland. In truth, he was horrified that the assassins would go to such great lengths to push both Joe and him over the edge.
You did quite a job of switching people. Callie after we arrived at the clinic, and I guess my mother when she went out for candy.
The false Iola nodded.
We set the murder scenes very well. Even better, they disassembled quickly so that all trace of the crimes would seem to disappear.
Right down to a fresh layer of dust on the floor at the clinic. How did you do that? A reverse vacuum cleaner?
Close enough.
When your people got Mom,
Frank speculated,
they must have grabbed her just as she left the door. Then they had her keys to get in and plant those killer candles in the jack-o'-lanterns.
We researched your family life extensively, especially regarding Halloween customs,
the double said.
The candles wouldn't have killed you, but the toxins would have made you quite irrational.
So we could discredit ourselves as witnesses in the Brubaker trial?
Exactly. We had several contingency plans, however. The major thrust was to drive your brother mad. Our best hope was to completely destroy his credibility as a prosecution witness by having him appear to murder you.
The Iola clone sounded a little angry that things hadn't turned out according to her plan.
That was the reason for the Bender girl's apparent death and the whole psychological war on your brother. You were to be lured up to Maine, led to make a fool of yourself with the police, and then eliminated. Your dead body would be shipped back here, and the murder weapon would be found in Joe's hand. We knew, though, that even if you weren't eliminated, we would have ruined your credibility on the witness stand.
All very complicated,
Frank said.
For one thing, it depended on the assassins always knowing where we were.
We had microtransmitters planted on both of you. Although, I regret to say, we lost your signal somehow.
Frank remembered the bruising fall down the gully after he'd escaped from the clinic. Apparently, the bug they had placed on him had either been torn off in the underbrush or destroyed by the fall.
Well, you got me in the end. I'm afraid this will be messy, though. What are you going to do with the people you kidnapped?
Oh, we have a disposal system all worked out.
The evil double assured Frank.
Now, enough questions.
She raised the gun in a two-handed shooting stance. Instinctively, Frank threw himself on the ground, but no shot came. The false Iola had been knocked down by a shovel swung at knee level. Fake! Joe Hardy cried, throwing the shovel away to pummel the woman. Miserable, lousy, lying fake! Frank leapt up and pulled his brother off the woman.
She's out cold, Joe. Clipped her head on a gravestone when she fell.
Joe nodded, his expression grim.
Ghosts don't get knocked out.
His eyes were clearer, more rational now.
A fake. All this time she was playing with my head.
No more, Joe.
Frank said.
I promised that. Is anybody else around here? Where were you when the dart hit?
Joe's hand went to the small wound on his neck.
I thought I'd been bitten by bats when I went into the mausoleum.
He rose, slinging the unconscious form of the female terrorist over his shoulder, and led Frank through the glowing mist. The ghostly lighting effect was just that, an effect. They nearly stumbled over a cable for one of the lights as they approached the Morton mausoleum. Frank had taken the precaution of picking up the false Iola's gun. Now he paused at the entrance.
If someone's in there, they'll be on guard,
he said.
Ready to shoot first and ask questions later.
They may not shoot if they see a friend,
Joe said. He swung the limp form of the Iola clone in front of him and moved her into the doorway. Frank followed noiselessly. The mausoleum was dark, but the Hardy smelled a rich odor of tobacco smoke.
Margaret, is that you?
A husky voice asked. Standing behind Joe, Frank had a brief glimpse of a little kid in a death costume. Or was it a kid? What Frank had first thought was a mask was actually the wrinkled face of an elderly midget. The gun in the man's hand was no kid's toy either. Still holding the female terrorist before him, Joe rushed across the burial chamber. The little man whipped his pistol up, but Joe was now close enough to hurl Iola's double into the man. The two fell to the floor of the mausoleum, the midget caught in the folds of gauze. Frank jumped forward to kick the gun away, aiming the gun that had been Iola's at the man.
Give it up,
he said.
You can't get away.
The man looked at Frank, then Joe. Then suddenly, a spasm of pain came over the man's wrinkled face, and his tiny body went into convulsions. Frank tore the still unconscious double off the midget's body, but already the man was dead.
I thought it was a kid,
Joe said in horror, looking down.
No, he was an adult, no matter what his height was.
Frank shook his head.
I suppose it would be very useful for terrorists to have someone working for them who could pass for a child.
Joe nodded.
Bombs in school bags. Shots in the back.
His face twisted.
Messages delivered by trick-or-treaters.
And bugs planted,
Frank said.
Remember the kid who bumped into us as we walked to the marina? A very sophisticated delivery system.
He knelt and examined the man's body. He opened the man's mouth.
Poison capsule in a false tooth,
he said.
If we weren't sure before, we can be sure the assassins are in it now.
Yeah,
Joe said.
Nobody takes an assassin alive.
The boys stood in silence, a silence suddenly interrupted by a faint noise from an open sarcophagus. Frank went over to check it out. The stone receptacle didn't hold a dead body, but a prisoner. His mother lay there, bound and gagged. Then Frank did a double take. The woman wasn't his mother, although she would have passed for Mrs. Hardy at a first glance. This woman's facial features were a little sharper, though, and she was thinner. Still, she had the same blue eyes, now wide with fear over her gagged mouth. Incoherent hums bubbled through the gag. Frank pulled out his pocket knife and went to work on the ropes and gag.
They were going to kill me!
The woman burst out when Frank got her free. Joe joined them to help the woman out of the cold stone box.
I'm Lorna Friel, by the way.
You didn't expect to get this far into your role, I'm sure,
Frank said, taking her by the arm and leading her out of the mausoleum. Joe followed. The actress nodded.
I was told it was a joke, a Halloween surprise, although making myself up as a corpse didn't seem to be in the best of taste. On the other hand, these people were willing to pay a fortune. Apparently, I look just like the guest of honor for this party.
Except there was no party,
Frank said. Lorna nodded.
That's right! I was brought to some house and led up to the attic! But only one person came in!
She nodded.
Your friend over there!
Actually, he's my brother,
Frank said.
And he thought you were our mother? Murdered?
The actress stared at Joe, her eyes full of horror.
That wasn't what I was told.
Of course not. What happened after Joe left?
These people came up to the attic and hustled me out. I told them something had gone very wrong, but they seemed delighted with the way things were going. When I threatened to quit, they pulled guns, tied me up, and brought me here to the cemetery.
Lorna Friel shook her head.
The setup here was weird. They had lights rigged outside, a cage full of bats, and some kind of dart gun. The little guy released the bats and shot your brother.
She looked at Joe.
Then you ran out of here like a crazy man. The little guy wanted to kill me, but the girl seemed to be the boss. She told him to hold on to me in case they needed something more.
You were lucky,
Frank said grimly.
They killed one of their own people in front of my eyes.
He leaned forward.
Now, think carefully. While you were their prisoner, did these two mention anyone else? Did they say where they were?
Lorna Friel nodded, her blue eyes wide with horror.
The little man kept telling me they had a basement full of loose ends, four of them, north of town. He kept laughing about it, saying his boss had even had them imported from Maine to their headquarters here. He said they'd all go through the mill north of here before daybreak.
End of chapter.